by his anxiety to reduce every consideration to enable him to make a linear decision while keeping strictly to us, and by his readiness to accept responsibility for his decisions. In other words, he didn't shirk the job. And as I said, towards the end of the life, we have people who visit him for a week and it would be 100 or so tshuvot which he would have responded to. So naturally, his later tshuvot, that is the ones he wrote later in life, could be shorter than the earlier ones when he had more time to compose. Among his other words, a given dot on the Shulchan Aruch, you're there, there's Da'at Torah and Gilui Dot, and Galkei Shalom, methodology for the Talmud and Poskim, Hakaot HaMasham, and Talmud Mishpat Shalom, on the Shulchan Aruch, Hoshe Mishpat, and Kelet Morat Talmud. Let me add that there are no, someone should write a good biography. I was able to find two biographies in the repository of the Harvard Library, somewhere sitting back there. This one is written by his last student, Chaim Bloch. So this was written shortly after World War II. He's a survivor from Vienna, and moved from Galicia to Vienna. But he was one of the Marshams, if not the Marshams' last student. He wrote this as an old man after suffering through the war, so it's terribly disorganized and not very clear. One thing that I found amusing in here is that the Rasham wanted to marry this young man to his granddaughter, his son's daughter, and he claims that she refused to accept him as a husband because he was dressed in Hasidic clothes and didn't have enough secular knowledge. So even within the family of the Rasham, times are changing. Here's a small picture, not very good, of the Rasham in his older years. So this was written shortly after the war, World War II. This is a hagiography written in 1997, really bad. For example, he was saved by heaven because he once had a temptation when he was a young child to read a book on digging. So here you have something written in 1997 saying that, because he was had almost yielded to the temptation of reading a book on Hebrew grammar, which he fortunately was saved from by God's intervention, that his father called him reading the book and he didn't read it. So the opposition to any type of knowledge still exists in the community, which is able to print something in 1997. Someone should write a biography. There's a relatively reasonable article that appeared in Sinai about 30 years ago, but I didn't have a chance to go get it. So now let's get to the tshuva itself. So here we have it. So, Po Buchach. The Yiddish version of the name is not Buchach, but Chuach, like in Buenos Aires. In Enish Alti, Vahadag Shemikra Chichia. So remember that the Polish name for this virgin was Chechuga, but the Ukrainian name was Chechuha. So this is definitely the Sterling.
Sterling or Sterling?
Sterlet.
Sterlet.
Sterlet in English. Chechuga in Polish, Chechiha in Ukrainian.
Chechuga in Hungarian.
The reason I emphasize this is because, in my rabbinical correspondence with various people, they keep saying to me, how do you know that this is really the Sterling? Well, there can't be any question.
Why can't we do the same experiment that did Rav London?
Just a second. Let's just read the truth. You'll see he did. But Surak HaDag, and the shape of the it has various protrusions of bone-like substance on its upper back. And והבליטות הם רחבים מלמטה ומתקצרים למעלה. They are wide at the bite base and shorten up to the top, עד שהם כמעט קצת חדים למעלה. Until they're practically sharp. So if you look at the picture of the spirit, and I handed out, you'd see this is identical to what we're talking about. והבליטות של על גבו הם גדולים, ויש עוד שני שורות מבליטות קטנות כאלו, אחד בצד ימין ואחד בצד שמאל. Has another a row of these things on either side. Upiv eino b'kitze harosh, and its mouth is not at the end of its head, k'mo b'sha'ar dagim, rak tachat grono yesh halal, except under its chin, under its neck, it has a hole, shehu hapeh, which is the mouth, u'misham v'yotzei misham k'ein kaneh avul shel basar, and from that hole a sort of pipe of flesh comes out. Kishirotzel of loa is a dava, the hoopid. So we've seen that in the pictures of the sturgeon with the same thing to his throat. Urubishmosh hayad al gufo, magishim shahayad misachsechet milmala milmata below the head. When you run your hand along the fish, you see that you get caught when you go from head to tail, but not reverse. Aber der rote Ayin lo nira kashkashim habos nafir yeshlo. Ba'achal chipus matzati ksat kaskasim ktanim. After search, I found some small scales. Ahu tseti otam bekoshi meha or adidei achizah b'tzofan b'tzifonachim. I was able, with great difficulty, to remove these from the skin with my nails. ושריתי אותו במים רותחים, but then I soaked this fish in boiling water, והוצאתי ונקל יותר על ידי אחיזה בצניים, קסקסים קטנים, והם קצת עגולים כחצי לרבה, ובצד העיכול יש פליטות קטנות והן שיניים שקוראים זגבה. והוא ממש כאין שאר קסקסים בצורה. אז הנוף מתנצל לשניים, the tail splits into two, אבל אין הפיצולים שווים, the two splits of the tail are not identical, רק אחד גדול פונה לצדו קצת, והשני קצר פונה לצד שני ביקום קצת יותר מהרחק מן הרחק השני. Okay, so that's the description of the fish, but you know that when he's talking about the scurvy, which is the fish you'll get the caviar from. Bahugadli shalom habu pola ochlo, and I was told that here they don't eat this fish. Miuz hayak pola rab hagaon hakadosh meravon David zechar tzadik levracha av bezdin yishavichach the church. That since Rabbi Avraham David Lorman, whose biography we just read, is here, the rabbi, that is until 1840, and he became rabbi here 35 years later, people did not eat this fish. Avomakama makamot na habu ochlo. But in other places, they did have the custom to eat it. In it barely, the kehila tismitz, metalnitz, ukudona ochlina. Vihine alpi hadim nirep hashut. It seems to me clear that alpi simonei hakaskasim mutal ochlo. Since by the sun and the scales that we've seen, it's permitted to eat this fish. The hamu guav shulchan aruch yodei asim mtegim, vafilu im neklapim al yodei kuri mahani. ואפילו הם קסקסים דקים מאוד, וכבר כתב לנו רבי יהודה מדוע פנינה יהודי הסימן חפכת להתר הדג שקוראים שטרל על ידי בדיקה של שביע וכלי שני במים ועבר כמו 3 שעות. ועבדנו רבי יהודה פנינה דסוויש, וגם בנו מילי אחריו בסימן חפכת, and his son also committed this fish in סימן חפכת ובסימן למדו ארך, וכתב שם לגבי דגים לא תלוי במסורת. That as far as fish are concerned, you don't have to have a tradition of whether it's when it's good to eat them, as long as you can certify that they have scales. וכן נראה להדיה וטור של חנוש לא הזכיר במסורת רק באופות הישן. The only time you have to have a tradition about what bird what you can eat and what you can't eat refers to birds, but not the fish. ומי הרמוש שם כתב בשם הרמב״ם דמיינן שיהיו נחלפים מהאור, and if they have to be, the kaskasim have to be removed from the skin. V'chein matzati v'sheilot v'kshivot zechon Yehudam v'herod Yehuda ben harashtim v'mendez k'avidag v'litzvah she'en kaskasim nirem bo rak achar shviya v'en en roroz v'en bo masor v'katav kem dutar natna v'dag simen en zor masorat v'dach ka'ot nechal v'masorat yimunchah. V'zeh lashon ha'rabban, and this is the language of the Ramban, snapir bekas kesef, snapir elu sheshat behem kas kesef, elu akulim bo loshen rashi, vachem huvam gmarad kulin, ava lo tabin lusharem shen kulin berufan mamash, ודרוקים באור הדעת, אל בקרב קבועים, שאינם נדים ממנו ולא מזדעזים בו כסנפיר. They don't move like a fin, והם הקליפים הגבולים שמיודה דומה לציפורן, שהם נשתים לאור הדעת ביד או בסכין. אבל כל שהוא שקבוע ודבוק לאור הדעת, ואינו נדע מן האור כלל, אינו כסכסת ויסור, ולכן אמור בגמרא, וכסכסת לבושו ועד כמישהו. So this is the Ramban that we read in the very first Shiva. וראיתי שאלות ותשובות הרמור עושים עם מפריז, אני עשור אין לי תשובות ובדמות הבנת, שרצה לאסור על פי זה את הדרג שטר מדברי הרמבן. He wanted to prohibit the scrollet from the words of the רמבן, וגם אותם הקבועים, גם להם יש אור תחת הקביפות, שראי כתוב שהם קבועים באור הדרג, רק בכיוון שהם נחלפים מן האור, אסר אותם. אם כן, בדגים קטנים שגורדון דק ובפתן קל יוכלו לקרוא כמה יאור עצמו, מה סימן יש פה שיכולים לחלוף את הכס כסף? וזהו, מפני שרק אותם, רק שהאור נשאר תחתם, רק שמשתנה משחור לרובן, באותו מקום שקולפים הכס כסף, זה אינו, so he rejects the arguments of the Baal, of the Haramor. Let's skip over this argumentation to the next paragraph. ומה שכתב הגאון הנער, והכי על ידי רוקים נקלפים ביד, אפשר ידי ומקוטום מן המים נקלטים על מתמד, אגב, מגינים מודדים רוקים ושבויים, מהני נמצא בכתיך הקסקסף, והכי היה ישר ידי חוזק המליטה והשפייה, הקסקסים נקלפים, ולא נמצא בשום מקום. שימצא הקסקסים נופלים להיריהם. We haven't found any source for this claim of Rabbi Bennett that when you use some chemical or heat operation that the scales have to fall off by themselves.
Isn't that toner that the lot loses because it comes out of water?
We'll come to that next week when we discuss the sword.
I need anything to get it on.
אלא ודאי ואין חילוק לעינינו הרואות אם נקרח הקסקסת ולא תחתה לו בצירות הרואות הדבוק הקסקסת מדוע אפול, why should we נמציא חששות, why should we invent all kinds of worries שלא נסקבו בפוסקים? So he just simply rejects the position of Rabbi Bennett in the Okay, so now let's go on to page 5. ובעיקר הדין של הדג צ'יצ'יה, as far as the conclusion as to what the law is concerning the scrollet, כבר ביארתי, I've already explained, יש לו התירות, that this should be permissible. וביותר, כפי שהעתיקנו רב יהודה שם מספרי הרופאים, especially when רב יהודה said from biologist books, שהדג הנקרא היסטוריון שהזכירו הרבה פעם ברמב"ן, הוא הנקרא בלשון דייץ' שטור, והביא שם את הדג בלשון הונגרית ואיטליה גם כן. He brought the name of this fish as the expression in Italian and also in Hungarian. ובדקתי בספרי לשונות הגויים, and I checked in the dictionary, השם קרובים ומכונם בשם ורטוביך, dictionary, מילון, מועתק מלשון דייץ' ללשון פוליש, which was translated, in other words, a dictionary, German-Polish dictionary. ושם כתוב לאמור, כי הדג הנקרא שדור בלשון דייץ' נקרא בלשון פוליש צ'יצ'רגה. That the fish which is called, okay. והוא הנקרא אצלנו צ'ישה. Here in the Ukrainian dialect, because in Polish it's called Chichuka, and in Ukrainian it's called Chichia. V'achachen chikarti etzel habikinim, and then I also investigated the experts, v'amuchen, v'adag eshtoyon, puk kefishu mitziyah sham, hanu mamash pachol sirotav kefi adag Chichia. The sturgeon, the way it's drawn there, looks exactly like the fish that was there. ואם כפי הציור גדול מאוד משקלו, even though that fish is very large, אין מזה ראיה, that's no proof, כי בים הגדול מקדם ביותר ובנערות הקטנים הוא קטן. ויש לו עיין צד שכתוב על הדג צ'יצ'יגה, ein Erbstoff, that's a species, a type of sturgeon. Nereshu rachimin shtov, lo hadog shtov, that's not exactly the sturgeon. Vachli anera yan shu katan, aval shtov gadol. Vayim el rashrabo karabashis, rashi shan de'en gomer tam dalka olev de'yakov lo olev asfari. That a fish which is caught in Akko doesn't taste the same as a fish which is caught in Spain. And certainly you must be talking of the same type of fish. I don't mean to say that a salmon doesn't taste like flounder. So he's arguing that the sturgeon and the sterlet are the same. That's not quite correct. They are regarded as different species. On the other hand, it's not quite wrong, because in recent times they have crossbred the sturgeon with the sterlet to get an intermediate type of fish. So they're not exactly distinct species. If you take distinct species to mean that they can't interbreed. Ulai, who Audrey may have to know the Kadel Haka. On Kola Dagim and Panim and Arotem, Bolivia, Amin, and Dab, Kavan Shakan, Arayu Hadag, Ashahi Tiru, Abed and Tango, Ramban, or Moe. But Ali Falebe in Echa Alasha Samachte, or Sifelishan of Tam, and don't be surprised that I bring proof from their dictionary. Ki Adavar Pashut Atzli, the Bechol Kahai Gavna, in all matters like this, Shurat Dilui Milta, it's only a question of finding out the facts, and Milta Davidi Ligluye, and it's something that can be checked, Yom Iman Lomar Im Natod, Vandai Ha'akum Ne'aman Bazeh. You certainly can rely on even a non-Jew who's compiled this dictionary as far as the facts are concerned. In any event, we see from this that you could read German and you could read Polish, and you didn't have any hesitation in relying on the dictionary. Okay? And now it comes to the big question. So let's go to about the third or fourth line down on page 6. The Ata Avol Lava'er Din. And now I will come to the question. In Mishala Hatziro, Ho, Shehu Atre, the Mahagon Hatzadik Zah. Uhu Noheg Osos. Can I permit this fish here in this town where the great rabbi, who has been immortalized in this town to the effect that no later rabbi gets that official title, can I have the nerve to overrule his decision? If a custom in a certain town was to prohibit something on the basis of a decision of a certain rabbi, and if another scholar came and permitted it, but certainly a rabbi who prohibits certain things, another rabbi can't permit something which has already been prohibited. It was shitat kama poskim, apilu gadol hemet, umikol shakon, v'katan shekhtanim, certainly a midget like me, umi hinemi, umpein afar tachat kapot raglav hakdoshim, and I certainly like dirt under the soles of his feet, v'eni kidai apilu la'amim barav, I am not even fit to understand what he says. When the culture came, a whole lot of bunch of this. How do I have the nerve to disagree with a great rabbi? Well, Amnam, Tamoshe Labach Bashach, the reason that the Bach Mashach said what they did, the Rabbi Shu, the Hachar, the Hacham Shasur, who will Icha Shnei Ta'amim. There are two reasons why, if a rabbi gave a ruling prohibiting something that somebody else can't permit it. Mishum dashavya anashay chaticha b'yisura, people who agree to abide by that rabbi's decision, it's as if they have already taken an oath to prohibit to themselves those things. Umishum koto. And the second reason not to overrule a previous ruling is because of out of respect to the previous rabbi. Uhu ha'tayma dashavya anashay b'yisura, the reason of someone as if one is taken an oath, shayach rak ba'oto davar sheba b'she'ila. That's only talking about the actual object which the previous rabbi had prohibited. ומקום אחר חדש, ונשאל אדם אחר שאין החקר שלו ולא דעת על המייק, ומכאן שאל לבת שמש כתוב מותר. I've written that I'm referring to a different actual case. It's different. I did this מוכים מדברי משנה לומר קצת וקצת. Let's not go into the details of this, but he argues that he does have the right to overrule the decision of the previous rabbi. And let's go towards the end on page 7 of this discussion. He did overrule him. The previous rabbi approved it, and he permits it. And therefore, I'm saying that this fish is permissible without any question. This isn't an old custom, a local custom, because the only reason they stopped eating this fish was because the previous rabbi had prohibited it. כולי אלמה מודי, ובכלל, כי כבר כתבתי, שהוא הדג שהתירו הרמב״ן ורבינו תם באור מועד. That this is the same fish which the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Tam and the Olmec committed. ואנירה לאניר די כי כתבתי. Therefore, what my view I have written. So here, a young man, relatively young man, at age 40, is overruling the great rabbi of this town from 35 years before. Shuv, and now comes the punchline, Shuv he'id l'fanai ish echad zakein. An old man told me, Shehaya az b'vichach, he was then residing in Vichach, v'sha'ash asah adon ha'kadosh ha'adak anal, when the old rabbi prohibited this fish, v'hayam etchila ha'minhag l'hatir. Originally, he allowed people to use this fish. V'achakach, בא חכם אחד ממדינת הונגר, למשל. הרבי came into trouble from Hungary, ואמר לו שנהגו שם בו איסור, that in Hungary they don't eat this fish. ותקף הכריז הרב לעשור הדגלה. And immediately the rabbi then declared not to eat this fish. אם כן, therefore, נראה שהיה רק שחשש לדבריו, it's only because he was worried about this report of a Hungarian rabbi.
So it doesn't just happen today.
That's right, it does not just happen today. So what happened in the United States, where we of Galician origin used to eat the sturgeon on the basis of this tshuva of the Narsham, when the Hungarians arrived after World War II, the OU has declared that this fish is no longer a kosher. No, I will abide by the majority currently, which is also the position of, I do not eat this fish, the mega. If someone served me a fish, I don't know that I would have a good reason to reject it. Let me add one last tshuva that I want to deal with this, is the tshuva of Rabbi Hoffman, who was the last post really, the only last post in Germany, the turn of the 19th century, turn of the 20th century, the end of the 19th century, the end of the 20th century. He prohibited the fish.
time. He was.
He was Berlin. Hoffman, David, how much time do I have left?
And 12 and a half.
Okay. Hoffman, David's the rabbi and biblical and Talmudic scholar. Hoffman was born in Verbo, Slovakia, and studied at Hungarian Yeshiva. שהפתיע נולו ביהודה ומתחור תל שנקרוש תיאלט ולושן אשכנז וכבר הישב על הנולו ביהודה הכתב סופר וסמון מופי וכתב סופר וסמון נולו ביהודה of the סם סופר who I passed out that she was rejected ושם הוא גבוה ויפה מאוד עם שלא לא עובדה etc. etc. and בעיני בארץ הונגרן הפיר הרב אהרן חורן ואמרו שסמלת על מלבידה בשטר הללו ורשו עליו כל רבני המדינה and this caused a great fight from all the rabbis of the country. עין כל הסיפור במכתבי מוח קולוס ומשריפטים from Dr. Lev. So Dr. Lev, of course, was on the side of Aaron Cohen, but he refers to that great dispute in the country. So Rabbi Hoffman, who was opposed to the German Jews at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, let his Hungarian influence carry the day.
Did you mention Rabbi Shadron?
He does not mention Rabbi Shadron. He may not have known of Rabbi Shadron's Shiva. But this was in volume four of Rabbi Shadron's Shiva. And even though it was written early, his later Shivot were published first. In other words, the first two volumes of the Shivot and Hashem were written relatively late. They were shorter and were written in Razan. The earlier ones, volume Shivot, which were written earlier in which time. So the sequence of publication is different. And I don't know exactly when these were published, but probably after the this particular Shivot. I can find out. I think in England, his father needed from the Ashkenazi government. Here, the conservatives needed from the Orthodox. I'm very closely involved in the other fish with the person who's in charge of Kashrut in this world, so I can ask him what the question is. But he did not know this pure Kashrut. So I discussed the matter with him. That is in writing. He was unaware of this particular pure Kashrut. I must say that Rabbi Shwadron is certainly one of the people that I rely on very much whenever I get a practical halakhic question, and who's so a little bit dismissive of the Hungarian rabbis. I should, in terms of equal time, read to you what the Hungarian rabbis write about Rabbi Shwadron. So, here is Rabbi Shadron wrote as not only his Tshuva Svarim, but also very thorough work on Hilchot Reichot, Hilchot Shtuta, and Hilchot Reichot, which summarized all of the positions of the earlier authorities. And there as well, he was lenient here and there because he thought through the problem and came to a clear conclusion. And he was unafraid of giving a lenient decision when he thought leniency was required, or giving a strict decision when he thought strictness was required. Now here it is the Rabbi Shapiro, Rumon Kacharov.
An equal opportunity Shiva.
Right. And he wrote six or seven thick volumes, Dalkei Tshuva, which are much more current in the libraries of people today than, say, the Das Tov. And at the end of his introduction, he writes, Tzvichin l'modahim, I have to give a public announcement to the services in large print at the end of his introduction. I have not refrained in this book of mine, Darkei Tshuva, after the Reham Akilim, or even the opinions of those who are lenient, Uchagon Sefer Da'at Torah Adinu Da'at, including this book, Masham wrote. שפטרו במיודעת, אשר במכלת כל תורתו, דרכו להקל יותר מדי עם הוראה. His method was to be too lenient in his decisions. נגד דעת רבותינו גדולי האחרונים, he went against the opinions of our rabbis, the great scholars, אשר מכירים אנו חיים, whose words are essential to us, ומהם תצא תורה בהוראה, ונגד הוראות שהם פשטו לאיסור, and against things which already have been prohibited. אמנם המעיין בחיבורי יראה, but someone who looks into my book will find, אשר במקומות שכאילו מאוד כתבתי, שחלילה לסמוך על זה למעשה. Heaven forfend that you should actually apply this in practice. או שהבאתי באחרונה די הפוסקים להכניע בזה, ממילא נדחו דבריהם, באשר הבאתי דבריהם, ולמען לא יבוא שום מורה להקל, that's just so that no person who makes a decision should be in a kill kasher yimtza v'sefer hanalachiyot. And therefore he says, I quote the Rabbi Shwadron, but heaven forfend that you should rely on his opinion. I was just quoted him to make sure that you understand that if someone tells you this is permissible, it's because that's his opinion, that that's not really halacha. So there are these, and this is a very thorough work, it's not an original work, but it's a very thorough work.
Which
the doctorate should be, it's an assembly of all the positions. It's hard to know, I mean, I'm open. Let me say a few words about the culture of thought, because this is a subject which has disappeared. Disappeared in the sense that a rabbi today never gets a question about it. I would be very surprised if Rabbi Gewurz or Rabbi Schachter ever in their career had to decide a question of whether a certain chicken was kosher or treif, or whether it just doesn't, because everything is now mass-produced, right? The chicken never was a live animal. It's something that you buy either in the supermarket or so the question of what's kosher or not is an issue of labeling, right? Do you rely on the OU's hechsher, or do you insist on the Bagatz's hechsher? Which company, or which... So, for instance, at the Bialystok Shul, where I daven, they have a new young rabbi, very excellent young man in his 20s, over from Rabbi Singer, who died 2 years ago. Yeah. Big kind of problem, very good scholar. And I tried to talk to him about it, some theoretical issues in Hortrey Hort, he informed me that they no longer study. In other words, when I had to get smicha, you were examined into Hortrey Hort. Now it's no longer part of the required curriculum. So, right.
They have absolutely no idea what to do.
Right. And a rabbi today has no idea of anything having to do with the laws of Tefillah, because it had never occurred to them. But if I occasionally have to deal with problems in Tefillah, but there were wholesale problems. In other words, if there is this type of a disease or this type of a manufacturing process, are all of these chickens or all of these cows, or can you drink the milk or something like that? But an individual case, I don't think I'd have to. Maybe in San Francisco, that's 45 years ago, we had to decide some questions on Kotzweit folk, but certainly in the last 45 years, I don't think I'd ever deal with a particular chicken or a particular cat.
Yeah, so,
right. So, the only people really that, as far as I know, that are going to study the Kotzweit folk are either the Satmarah Hasidim, who have to produce their own, maybe the Ravalajah Hasidim, and also the chief rabbi in Israel has to produce experts, but by and large, they're not going to be the brightest people, because this is not an interesting subject particularly. And secondly, there's something more fundamental about it, and that is that certainly the Maharsham believe that the chicken was treifa according to the laws of treifa, or if the cow was treifa, and if it wasn't treifa, it was going to die. In other words, there was some connection between the physiology as understood by the laws of treifa and the physiology as understood by medicine. That is, he did not, he would, it would have been inconceivable either to the Mahasham or to the Munkacha Rav to believe that an animal which has a puncture in the lung could survive for a year. And of course, medicine has become scientific in the last 100 years or so. And almost all of the bases of the laws of Kirchhoff are unintelligible except from a historical point of view. So one is in a weird situation in which the laws of the Kirchhoff have completely disappeared from the table of an ordinary rabbi or an ordinary householder. When I was a kid, and I lived for a year in the house of Rabbi Schwab, every week a woman would come with a chicken. And now this is something. And on the other hand, no one has really addressed the theoretical problem of how to deal with this body of laws which were based on an understanding of medicine and physiology as it existed in Talmudic and medieval times and no longer represents our understanding of medicine and physiology today. I'm not also, I mean, certainly not the correspondent. My colleagues, not to fruitful, I'm sure. But okay, we'll stop here. And next week we will, we have the hope, pass from the sturgeon to the scope swordfish. Swordfish has an entirely different history. As far as I can tell, it was always a permissible fish until around the 1950s. And it's now definitely not good.
The sturgeon keeps swimming around and pays no attention to it.
Okay.
Francoise's first thought was Naja, because Naja's right next to the towers at Stuyvesant, our daughter's